It's that coming up from the bottom. Day one, dollar zero type shit. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a bus, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I could never take a day, y'all. The only thing I'm ducking is the graveyard. I'm really with the shit y'all niggas play hard. I made it to a bus, I'm selling eight balls. I came up from nothing, I could never take a day, y'all. Turn your baby mama crib into a stash spot.
And what's up, bro?
Just let it play for a minute.
Flippers and black Jesus was my backdrop. My daddy was a player in the 80s selling crack rock. Used to push the rock, I got a mean handle. Had them fiends hitting balls like Mickey Mantle. Forever living by the cold, death before dishonor. I'd rather die before I tell, I put that on my mama. Nigga, I could never chill, I'm really on shit.
There we go.
Watch your mouth, don't get your dome.
Hold on a minute.
Broke niggas pillow talking, that's that whole shit. While me and
pillow talking. That's that whole shit. That's my favorite part.
Oh, I've been waiting for that, man.
Shout out to Hash. We appreciate you, Hash. If you guys couldn't tell, we were being pretty blatant about it. But there's a new intro song. We had a Lonkut on here for the past couple of years. Super good dudes. We've got a really good friend of ours as well, Hash, who's
with the dollar sign.
Yep, who does he's a lyrical artist. And made a intro for us, man, specific to Day One Dollar Zero. Super cool. Super relatable, you know, with the man, from the N-words to the black Jesus. It just reminds me of my childhood. Probably more hitting bombs like Mickey Mantle.
Man, I related to more in that song than I thought I would, than I cared to admit.
Well, I told Hash, we were talking about it, and I told him, I said, hey, man, just keep it that gangster shit, man. Like, that's kind of like what we like, and don't need any pop culture, you know, like, that's for sure. And no, he had fun with it. Obviously, not all of it pertains to us, but I wanted it to be him, too. I didn't want it to be, you know, just us. Like, I want to give him a shout-out, and I wanted it to be, you know, for him, too. But, like, the Mickey Mantle part, super cool.
Yeah, and yeah.
Death Before Dishonor type stuff. Yep. Things like that definitely ring a bell. Well, and it's just, man, just who doesn't want to be a gangster?
Well, dude, and, like, just the whole Day One Dollar Zero thing from the get-go. Yeah. That's one of the whole reasons we called this podcast what it is, is because everyone can relate to that. Everyone's got that Day One Dollar Zero shit.
I heard a quote from Harbaugh, I guess it's the head coach for Michigan football, who said some people were born on third base but think they hit a triple.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah. So maybe people can't relate to it. I don't know.
But everyone has their Day One Dollar Zero, whatever that is. Maybe it is third base, but it might be their Day One Dollar Zero.
Or what we assume.
Right.
Because ours is harder. But either way, it's literal form. It's like we talked about it. We've talked about it several times of just our start, my start, what it looked like, and then how we still approach every day like it's Day One Dollar Zero, and that's fun. And I've just been thinking about that lately, man. That's what we're going to get into today. We've had a lot of people reaching out, even more than normal. We've had we have a lot of people that want to like really start cranking up their business and certain things, and hey, there's smoke and mirrors with that too, man. Just like when people are around or want to get committed or be the quote unquote, if you guys can't see my air quote, value add. When in reality, like, it's just disguised handouts.
Yeah.
There's not the intention to put the work in or to improvise to, it's more so of like talking a good game to see what they can get out of it. Masking handout of like, if they can get around us, hey, maybe we'll throw them some deals.
I got
maybe.
You. Masking a handout like they're asking for a handout without in the disguise in the form of bringing of like, value.
Bringing value or like, yeah, man, like just stuff like that. And I'm so against it because, one, well, I mean, this is what I talked about on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I think it was today or yesterday, but it was, let me just read it so I don't misquote myself. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a shame? Watching Asian guys fight on a balance beam, sorry. I think it's this one here. Anything you birth in the midst of great pain means more to you.
Yeah, I like that.
You know,
said
and
that to me last night.
Very reminiscent of just thoughts on our day one, man. And like just what it felt like to sleep in a pantry and the insecurities and the fears and the what ifs and the just being able to just quiet the mind and focus on what that next step was and staying focused on a process and being emotional about the goal at hand, not emotional about the process and, you know, succumbing to your fears or pointing fingers or blaming a institution or blaming an organization or blaming an, another person for your obstacles, mm-hmm. but just pushing through
and embracing them too.
Yeah.
Like not just like tolerating or putting up with it or bearing it.
Well, and if you're really rock bottom, it. You don't have a choice but to embrace them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's you not embracing them is not going to change it.
Right.
You know,
it's,
but
it's still there.
But what you learn.
Yep.
And I don't mean you need to be in a bunch of turmoil, a bunch of stress. Like, hey, maybe you can live with your parents mm-hmm. while you're starting and they're financially supporting you. Like that's cool too. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's just identifying when you're starting something from the beginning and just taking pride in it, but also understanding, even if you haven't gone through it before, the value and the context you're going to have by starting there and not looking for shortcuts or for handouts, but just doing it the right way. And like, yeah, man, like you're going to take a lot more pride in the product you are as a person, the brand that you're building. And you're also going to take a lot of pride in who you let around your organization. Mm-hmm. And if you're skipping that process, you're going to have a hard time with allowing it to grow and having that foundation that's needed to really like
yeah.
sustain.
You're cheating yourself, man. And you're cheating yourself out of, man, at like a basic level, like just happiness.
Well, and here's the deal. You're cheating yourself. And guess what? Nobody's going to fucking do it for you.
No, no.
So even if you want these handouts or these shortcuts, anybody selling you that, I promise you, they are not building anything for you. You're not mm-hmm. building anything. You work for them. So let's just use real estate. There's a lot of attractiveness around like Zillow leads, realtor.com leads, Facebook leads, whatever it is. If you're going to go to a real estate team because they've got leads for you and, hey, we're going to teach you this and we're going to teach you that. And, you know, and you come here and you, hey, instantly you're going to have business. And hey, you work for that team, mm-hmm. That team owner, he's paying however much money to buy those leads. You can call yourself entrepreneur. You can whatever you want all day. Lie. It's not for you. And he's not there to build you, mm-mm. right? Like anyone like in a traditional team like that, it is not desirable for that team leader to train you on how to be proficient, spend a lot of money in leads up front, mm-hmm. and then making sure that your training and your continued training is adequate to make sure that you're converting on these leads. And then you show up to him one day and you go, hey, oh my God, I'm so amazing now. That I want to go have my own team. No, that's not his goal. Okay, like his goal is that you're there and you're not adequate at building a brand or building a business and you need help and you need leads because that guy's the top of the funnel or that girl is the top of the funnel that creates attention. And you are an employee disguised behind a 1099.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That is 1,000% okay. This is not us shitting on employees or whatever mm-hmm. it may be. This is just understanding the awareness of, hey, what that is. And if anybody that's within that model, if they're telling you otherwise, it's a lie. But if you're in that model and you're completely aware of like, hey, this is my strength and this is what I'm good at and I have no business building a brand or I don't want that. I'm okay to be tied to this. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's okay. We've got friends that are huge in the leads that are good dudes that absolutely crush, that take care of their people, that pour into them. Nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of understanding and identifying what things are. And like, it's the people that are within that then try to like create this image.
Yep. Yep.
That
yep.
there's something else. Right. And like, that leads me to my next point. This is all going to boil down to leadership here in a minute, if you bear with us. But my next point with that is when you don't know who you are, you depend on the rest of the world to tell you. And now you're empty, and now you're projecting, and you're trying to protect this reputation, right? So it's like, it's that, right? It's like, if you don't know who you are, and you're not okay with who you are, you're in a system like that, but then pretending to be something else, right? Mm-hmm. And then what are you attracting? People are looking up to you because now they want to learn, and they're new, and they don't know any better, but to follow your bullshit, I don't know, right? Or you're projecting this image to people that maybe yeah. you want relationships or yeah. whatever, but the bottom line is, if you're creating this other image that's not true to like what you're doing, you've just got to dive into like why you're not okay with just being what you are,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
being
mm-hmm.
okay and just owning that. You know what I mean? Like we had Marines that had no problem not being in leadership,
mm-hmm.
did not want anything to do with it. Right. They were just good at what they did and that's what they wanted. And like, hey, there's some strength in that.
Huge,
you know,
man,
so it just
massive strength.
Yeah. So it just comes down to that, and like, but I've been seeing a lot. I've been seeing patterns there. I've been seeing a lot of people kind of are coming into close contact with us, mm-hmm. and boy, do I get excited, man! I give people benefit of doubt, and I get excited with humans. But it bottoms out more times than not. People bottom out.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon that becomes the expectation and the, not the expectation, but rather it's just the
accepted.
Norm. And well, and then what's nice is that when we get these people, and we've had a few of these, more of these more than recently too, mm-hmm. reach out where it's like, man, some guys have just been like, you know, some guys like in our downline that are just doing the shit that we talk about. They've been applying it and it's working, and they're coming to us and they're not asking for anything. They're just grateful for, you know, what we've been teaching them. And it's like, mm-hmm. there's that side too.
It all comes with like clear and concise expectations, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where I want to talk about leadership today. And you said you had a couple things top of mind mm-hmm. that you couldn't remember, which makes me feel like it's not top of mind.
That's the exact.
Eli has a couple things that are definition. Bottom of mind. Yeah. Eli's got his head up his ass today and can't figure out what he was thinking. But like with leadership, right? First and foremost, being adequate at a trade or skill set, whatever your field is, that does not deem leadership, okay? Like Magic Johnson, I think, was hired to coach the Lakers or whoever, and it didn't even last 6 months. But one of the greatest basketball players that's ever been around. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a direct correlation to being proficient at a skill set does not necessarily translate to leadership. However, it is a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you can't, like in my opinion, this is my opinion, maybe somewhere, you know, I understand talent. You don't need to be Michael Jordan talent to coach basketball. Clearly, a lot of football coaches, basketball coaches that are great leaders mm-hmm. and have been extremely successful with leadership are not Hall of Fame players, but they did have a proficiency level of like varsity level high school into like most of them are collegiate. Excuse me, the least amount. Most are collegiate and professional. So, no, they're not Hall of Famers as far as talent, but they're proficient. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
and I feel like that's a prerequisite for leadership. Like, you can't suck at a skill set or a trade. Like, let's use real estate. I don't necessarily have to be Hall of Fame level, top 1% worldwide in production to be a good leader within mm-hmm. real estate. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not even in the top 20%, I don't think you have any business like leading anything, because I don't think you have enough context of what actually worked and didn't work. And everything you're going to try to teach people is hypothetical, mm-hmm. right?
In regards to that business, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I do feel like, hey, just because you're great at something doesn't mean you're going to be a leader. But being adequate or being mm-hmm. great, not Hall of Fame, being great, I feel is a prerequisite, not only for like your ability to have context and to speak to the craft in addition to the leadership style or in addition to leadership. I also think it commands respect from people that you're leading, like it or not. Like, for example, another example, if you're a fat personal trainer, it doesn't matter how much you know and how proficient you are at structuring yep. people's body position and making sure that they're isolating and all of that stuff. If you aren't adequate with your own discipline and your own physique, even if people don't mention it to you, there's zero respect there.
That's the best analogy for it.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes, like, the reason why I use fitness or we talk about fitness because it's a physical vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a direct representation. That it's, like, it's literally tangible. You could grab that dude's fat ass gut yep. and go, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
No,
yep.
Why would I listen to this guy? Like, are you sure what you're telling me is working? Because if it's supposed to work, why aren't you doing it?
Right.
And, okay, maybe it does work, but you don't do it, so then why are you talking to me about discipline if you don't have it
yep.
in yourself, right? Yep. So, like, those are some things that I've been thinking about a lot. And, you know, and it's twofold. Like, my biggest thing that I'm noticing is this: there's a lot of attention with personal branding and within our community as far as, like, gaining attention. Mm-hmm. There's not much attention about being a subject matter expert or professional at your craft. There's mm-hmm. not enough around that. And, like, people are so busy wanting to get more business and get more attention. They're not focused on, hey, what about doing a great job? You know, I think that's a big thing. And then I'm sure you have some comments to that, and we'll kind of bleed into leadership and like what I think creates a great leader.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll kind of dive into that. But
man, I'm always so curious as to like the why behind these things and like why, and I was thinking of like, no, like deeper than that. I mean, like chemically, like in your head, like what are you protecting yourself? Like, what is it about yourself that is making you feel the need to put on this facade versus just, you know, being yourself? And how is that playing into like, is this really this like image you have in your head of yourself and you're trying to fill this image? Or is it just truly like fear and insecurity and all these other like negative things that you're just putting this blanket over?
Yeah, it could be that. Or maybe you're young enough, or maybe you're not young, but you're inexperienced enough to where you're like, you don't necessarily know quite who you are, which I think is super honest. I'm sure like as I was growing and maturing, I didn't always know who I was. And like, yeah, there's a natural disposition to want to fit in. But I think what you've got to do is just, you've just got to be self-aware of like, as you're fitting into an industry, as you're fitting into a circle of friends, as you're fitting into stuff, pay attention to how you feel, right? And if something doesn't feel right, or if something doesn't feel like you agree, that's where you just got to have enough self-awareness to just be okay to disagree with it, or be okay to not participate in it, right? Like, you know, like when you're wanting to fit in with Marines, but you're not a big drinker. So are you going to go force yourself to go out on the weekend and drink and just become a drunken stupor and hungover for 2-3 days because you're just not good at recovering from alcohol? And like, some of these dudes can run it off Monday morning and they're fine, but you're not. No, that's probably not the best idea. Okay, so you're going to go extreme opposite and then you just don't go hang out with anyone at all and you just go work out or watch a movie or be weird? Maybe that's not the right answer either, but what about just going out with everyone and not succumbing to like peer pressure, if there's any of that, and just like have a couple of drinks throughout the night. And every time you have a beer, you have 2 glasses of water before you have another beer, and you just pace yourself. But you can still go out. And like, if someone's like, oh, come on, fucking drink more, you're like, oh, come on, shut the fuck up, bro. I'm not like, just no, I don't need more. I'm good. Like, but you can still hang out amongst your peers. And like, I promise you, you'll get more respect for that, you know? Yeah. And then it's the same thing in like real estate. You know, like first getting into real estate, I'm sure you can relate too. Like everyone's talking about leads and everyone's talking about, hey, you gotta make this many phone calls. And I don't know why my mockery voice always leads to like douchebag from Sausage Party. Every time I'm talking about an industry or a circle or a notional person that I'm giving an example of, they have to talk like douchebag.
We all know that person. Yeah.
Come on, bro. Yeah. You know, and it's like, hey, but maybe you don't like cold calling. Or maybe it's like, okay, put your emotion to the side, still crank through. But literally, maybe it like makes you want to vomit, or it's not your thing. Or if it's like, hey, I understand that there's some conversion there, and for every 100 calls that I make, one person, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, that's just not how, man, I don't want to call people when they're eating dinner and interrupt them with, hey, I saw you looking on Zillow. Or whatever, man. Like, or they, you know, like, and I'm not trying to trash leads, right? They fucking work, and there's a way to do it, and it's awesome. But like, maybe that's just not how you want to build your business. Maybe you want to do more, you know, client attraction where you're putting content out there. Yeah. So it's like, hey, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But what are you going to do? But the bottom line is like, whether it's a circle of people or if it's an industry where it's not necessarily one person, it's just there's a way to go about things. And like, hey, just having the strength and the self-awareness to go, hey, that's not for me. Like, I know I'm not going to do that. And if I try to force myself to do it, I'm not going to do it to the high enough level to make it successful. Hey, there's a different way to do this. And I've just got to find what I'm passionate about and how I want to build my business and then do that. And just being okay with it. So I think when you're early on with finding yourself per se, or you found yourself, but you're getting into a new industry, you don't, you know, like for me, dude, like I wore a suit and tie. I didn't quite know. I wasn't even aware to like ask myself right away if this was me or not, because I was doing all I could to just try to learn. And I think there is, again, that disposition of like just kind of being a chameleon. Like you do go try to fit in because you think it's just part of it.
Yeah, which honestly, I think in the beginning, from a blank slate, is not a bad idea. The problem is when people get stuck doing these certain things, or someone will teach them something one time, and then they think that's always how it is, and they just don't expand or try and grow from there.
Which leads me to leadership.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're getting into an industry, and there's all this hype about someone that's going to mentor you. By the way, if someone's volunteering to mentor you, they're full of shit, bro. You're full of shit, bro. Okay? Like, any real mentor I've ever met, I've never seen them just give themselves away publicly as a mentor.
Yep.
Because that's not what that is, and that's not what it looks like. But let's get away from mentorship. That word's thrown around a lot. People have told me I'm their mentor, And I'm like, I understand what they're trying to say, so I don't take offense to it. I don't correct it, but I know better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, if there has not been a certain level of exchange or conversation in that manner.
Directly.
Yeah, like you don't get to proclaim me as your mentor.
Yeah, like.
Because you're using the wrong word.
The OnlyFans girl is not your girlfriend. You know, you're watching what? Online. The OnlyFans girl is not your
now
girlfriend.
Now you're going deep, bro. Now you're getting sensitive, bro. They tell me all the time. They call me babe all the time, bro.
Hey, babe. Like, oh, shit.
You know, but it's that's a really powerful word, man. A lot of people get super romantic with their vernacular.
Yeah.
And I think it gets abused. And the word mentor, in my opinion, it gets abused. So when people have called me that, like in real estate, you're incorrect. I am not. There hasn't been a mutual exchange. There hasn't been this intimate outside of like mm-hmm. everyone else that I'm teaching in real estate where I've literally pulled you aside and poured more into you and talked about life or, you know, some ideals on certain things or different intuition pointers. And then you've also given back to me in some sense because, yes, when you have a mentor, it is mentor and mentee, but the mentee does pour into mentor.
Yeah,
and we can have a whole podcast on that. But the bottom line is that's the wrong word. What you're really saying is, hey, I look up to you or, hey, you're within my chain of command.
Yep.
You're my leader.
Me value. Yeah.
And at that point, yes, you are spot on. When you're getting into seeking leadership within an industry, within a circle, whatever it may be, they need to take the time to know and understand you. And one, first, commit that they would be an appropriate leader for you. And then secondly, understanding who you are and your skill sets, mm-hmm. right? Because no, leadership is not putting everybody on leads and having everybody do 100 calls a day.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Even the people that are okay to make calls, depending on that individual, there's going to be different ways to go about that approach to make that person successful at it. How you make calls mm-hmm. and whatever you do, it's going to be different than how I approach it, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm not making calls at all, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders have to identify strengths and weaknesses in people. And like, yes, you got to be adequate at your weaknesses. You can't just let them go to the wayside. But you've got to lean in and triple down on your strengths, you know, for progress. And, you know, it kind of like reminds me of baseball. If you got a baseball coach trying to make everybody bat the same exact way, hold the bat the same way, put your feet in the same position. Like, it's not, no, man. Like, some dudes naturally see the ball better from a different stance, from a different approach with their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, man, like, it works. Like, and you have to allow people's purity to bleed through and people's strength to bleed through. And then as a leader, identifying, hey, is someone leaning on something and it's a strength and it's good for them, or are they leaning on a comfort? And it's mm-hmm. not a strength, but it's a comfort, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's use golf, okay? Like if you're in a chain of command for someone and they want to, and they love to network, right? Like, oh, I'm going to all these networking events and I play golf twice a week. And no, I'm not speaking about any of my personal friends. For all you fuckers that are my friends at golf and I got to hear about it. Listen, I have other concerns about your decisions, but no, I'm not specifically talking to you. Or maybe I am.
Will just hates fucking golf.
I don't hate golf. I hate golf. 4 hours of nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Because I don't enjoy golf.
Yep,
and if I'm only playing golf for like business networking, there's like 19,000 other things I do super well that doesn't require 4 hours that other people also appreciate and we're successful. Yep. But again, this comes down to that. But when it comes to as a leader in identifying a strength and a comfort, it's a problem because if you have an agent or if you have someone that's like that loves to network and loves to go golf, but there's zero conversion that comes from it, it's like, hey, you're leaning on this whole social thing. Your social network and being a social butterfly, but you're not good at it. You look busy.
You're acting like you're busy.
Yeah, you're acting like you're busy. And you are busy. You're busy. You're just treading water.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you got into a pool and sales or your business is swimming laps mm-hmm. and you're in the pool treading water, you're still working.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not going anywhere. There's no, right? So it's identifying strengths, weaknesses, discomforts, comforts, what's working, what's not working, and really understanding individuals. And hey, by the way, just because they're not converting doesn't mean you pull them from their social network. It means you've got to, okay, that's where you're comfortable. I like that. But how can we alter that
mm-hmm.
to where you actually start getting conversion? Like, why isn't your network converting? Do they not respect you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, do you come from a different background and they just don't respect you as a realtor yet? Are you having intentional conversations that would create conversion in the first place? Like, hey, where are we going wrong with that? And that's me getting involved, or that's your leader getting involved with things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what's most important, man, when it comes to leadership is that it's, but that, like, if you're not proficient at a skill set, how are you going to have the intuition to dive in and run a diagnostic on someone's skill sets and comforts and fears and discomforts and overall just work ethic, well, to even ask the right questions in the first place?
Man, and even if you're, like, if you're in a leadership position, okay, if you're, or you've put yourself in a leadership position and you're not asking those questions, and you're having them do a system and they're all batting the same way, they're all doing the same shit the same way, like, you're a manager. And
that's okay,
that's
too.
That's okay, too. Yep.
Managers are okay, too. Like, you just got to be, you just have to identify what you are. Because what you don't want to do is be a manager and you're trying to fill a leadership role, or you have the expectation of being in a leadership role, but your management, right? And, like, you see a lot of issues with that, like, in corporate, because you'll have managers and then people above them are expecting them to, like, get the most out of their team and this and this and this, but then they restrict their ability to be creative or get outside of the framework to create production. It's like, no, you're a leader and I'm expecting all of this from you, but you have to just do this right here with this people, with this budget, with these ideas, with this, right? Like, and it's like, well, you're not promoting leadership. Like, so from the chain of command, right, from the top down, that's just misrepresented. And, like, all it's creating is a bunch of stress, because if you have someone in that management slash leadership role that cares, but they're restricted, you're going to, you are going to burn that person the fuck out.
And I think part of it too, man, why people struggle with that is because I think sometimes when people get that leadership position, the ego or the, what they perceive as, like, this additional layer of, like, oh, I'm a leader now, comes along with it.
It can.
I'm talking about, like, let's just keep, like, with corporate examples, right? And it's like, oh, I'm this, like, leader now, and they start acting different and changing the way that they interact with people. And, like, what you were just talking about, like, man, maybe someone is great at doing something in this different lane. If they're good in a lane where you're not necessarily good, or it's out of your system that you're used to doing, that's a huge hit to the ego. And then you're telling someone to stop doing shit that's working for them when it's like, hey, no, like,
and this is why it's so important to be proficient at whatever craft you're going to lead.
Because you got
to
know it.
Because when you get into leadership, you have a completely new lane that you've got to learn, right? Like, leading people is not the same as just doing it yourself, right? Teaching, for all the parents out there, teaching your kid math and just doing their homework for them, it's not the same thing, right? Like, that's literally one of the most basic form examples of leadership. Like, if I've got to influence my kid and say things to them 9 different ways to, or 19 different ways to figure out what they respond to or what makes sense to them, so I can elaborate and explain, which creates influence and change in them, which allows a proficient process to come through their brain onto the paper, versus me just doing their long division for them. It's not the same thing. But if I am not proficient at long division myself, how am I even going to understand fundamentally what we're talking about in order to pour into you in several different ways to pay attention to how you receive content? If I don't even understand what we're talking about, I'm more heightened about trying to make sure whatever I say is accurate. I'm not paying attention to you as an individual with how you respond to training, right? Police force, same thing. If a cop on the street is an FTO, a field training officer, if he is not great at that job, he's going to be paying attention on the street more to the job and not fucking it up, not how you're responding as a new officer and what you're good at, what you're not good at, how you respond, how you understand. And he's not going to be able to mold and train you because he's too busy trying to figure the job out himself.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you jump into leadership, you know, if you get baptized into it, if it's self-proclaimed per se, like with, you know, entrepreneur world or real estate, everyone wants to be a team leader and all that stuff. Like, regardless of what it is, being a professional at whatever standard or whatever lane that you're speaking to cannot be more important, man, because now you're going to get into this lane of people and influence. And it's important, man. Like, it's, and we, you know, and we saw the opposite, like in the Marine Corps. If you want to humble someone, put him in leadership. If you have a guy who's, like, really good at something, but, like, questions authority, and because he can't, like, he's not a team leader, he's not a squad leader, so he doesn't see the whole picture. So he wants things done, you know, he thinks it should be this way or that way, but he doesn't see the bigger picture as in why. Yeah, I see what you're saying there, kid, but these other four things.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll explain it to them once or twice, but then if they keep wanting to go down that road, one of the best things you can do is just, cool, hey, man, I appreciate your ambition. I appreciate your eagerness to want to create change. And, hey, so here's the deal. You're now third team leader.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge of that team. So your team leader is going to go over here to second team. Okay?
Shit.
And then we're going to take a guy from second team and put him over here, and then you're going to lead your third team leader now.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what your expectations are. And you're going to have the freedom to express yourself and expect it different, you know, and express yourself as far as like coming up with some ideas, whatever, whatever. And like the responsibility of the job humbles you.
I bet it does.
And now everybody's watching you be full of shit or inadequate.
Yep.
So your confidence, right? It's like, it's the same thing, dude. Let me give you a great example. Every dude watching a UFC fight during the fight,
mm-hmm.
or watching a football game, like, oh, why'd you throw it there? Mm-hmm. You should have, if you'd have thrown it over here, he was wide open and he'd have scored a touchdown. Or like, or when you're watching UFC, kick him.
Yep, yep.
Oh, dude, when he shot, why didn't you defend it and just do that? Like, hey, hold on, audience member. Listen, put your beer down. Because believe it or not, mm-hmm. hey, Dana White just paused the fight. And they're actually going to let you go in there and fight.
Yep, yep.
You can. So this guy here is going to sit down because he's not doing what you think he should do. So he's going to sit down and take a break. You're going to go in for him, and then you're going to execute.
Yep.
What he should do, or even more, like when you go to like leadership, when you start bitching about a coach, like, oh, the Broncos lost the game because in the fourth quarter we started playing prevent defense and all safe and shit, and then it let him creep back up, and it's like, okay, hey, listen. Man, great observation. The Broncos called, and they're going to let you.
You're in.
Right, because they keep thinking, like, prevent defense. It's like, hey, it's cover two. Shut the fuck up. Secondly, it's not just that team playing safe, quote, unquote. You have another team now with nothing to lose, playing dangerous, going all out, running two-minute drills the entire fourth quarter, going for bigger, like, It's their change behavior that has an effect on it as well. Just like when dudes can be winning a fight for four rounds, that fifth round comes around. Well, the guy who's won four rounds is super nervous.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because the guy who's won zero rounds but hasn't been tapped out or knocked out, he's going to go in there with nothing to lose. He's not going in that fifth round to win the round. Winning a round and losing this whole fight 4-1. Doesn't benefit him.
He's trying to.
So now he doesn't give a shit about a knockout or a tap out. He's going to be smart, but he's coming at you in a different manner, which is dangerous, which no matter how many rounds you've just won, if you get fucking clipped, you're done. You can lose the fight. You can win all four rounds and 4 minutes of the, or 3.5 minutes of the last round. And in the last 30 seconds, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, get knocked the fuck out and you lost the fight. Okay.
Yep.
It's that. So there's an element of the other team and where their motivation and where their risk factor comes in and with what they're doing. It changes the dynamic. But hey, you don't understand these things, or believe me, not a problem. You get to go head coach the Broncos next week. Okay? And they're going to literally listen to everything you say they should. And you don't get asked questions. You're going to go in there and you're going to go direct the Broncos, and the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators and the linebacker coaches and the players are all listening to you, and you're the one calling the plays. And you don't know the playbook. That's fine. You're going to call the style of play at minimum on how we approach this. And like, we'll see how it pans out. I bet you fucking drive this thing into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So with small unit leadership in the Marine Corps, you would give guys responsibility and it would humble them. But if they accept it in the right way, because, you know, when guys have the energy to create change or want things to be different, it's like you can't shit on them. You got to understand, like, hey, young devil, you got some ambition in you. You just don't know how to articulate it, right? Like, you're young. We're training for war. I get it, right? So there's some quality in you. I've just got to figure out how to humble you. But if I can humble you, it will work, because that leadership role, like, man, you never learn more than when you're leading. But you've got to be proficient enough at certain crafts to lead. But, man, I never felt more sharp and prepared than when I was leading.
Yeah. 100%. And that's what I was going to ask is, like, did you ever see guys go into those roles and fucking excel?
Yeah. Because, like, you know, and that's the other thing, like, as far as, like, leadership in the Marine Corps, and the leadership I was around was phenomenal. And the Marine Corps is huge on small unit leadership. You have to rely on the 17 and 18-year-olds being proficient, and you have to rely on them being small unit leaders at a team level, leading 3 to 5 guys.
That's so crazy to think about that age.
Well, what are you going to do, man? Like, these guys are going to war. Like, they have to be. You got to be proficient with leadership at all levels. This is not like your board of directors has to be good and everyone else can suck. No, right. Man. Like, this has to be.
It's impressive.
Down to the point, man. Everybody has to be at it, right? So when you have those guys that are eager, that want change, like, and that's also just a big gun club, dude. You got to, like, as a squad leader, you got a young buck that's that. You have to be confident in yourself that you're better than that young devil at every single thing he can imagine.
Yeah.
Because now there is no ego thing. Now it's like you're just identifying his ambition. Yeah. You're identifying that he's just not able to articulate his frustration with composure. So he's doing it this way. Mm-hmm. But again, especially in the Marine Corps, if you're in leadership, but you're not good at physical training, like physical fitness, if you're not good at shooting, if you're not good at fighting, like, your subordinates that have ambition, that came to the Marine Corps for a reason, especially in the infantry community, they will not listen or respect you, period. But if you are good at those things, with your physical fitness, with your shooting ability, with your tactics, right, like, they will. So if you are a professional at, you know, with that as a sergeant, as a squad leader, and you see these young bucks that are acting out or getting frustrated or whatever, it's like, you know what that is. Mm-hmm. You can see past some of the quote-unquote ego or chip on the shoulder, and you can identify it. But lecturing him or bitching at him doesn't humble him.
Right.
This is where it's like, you can use in training, not necessarily on deployment, but in training, you can promote them to a team leader position temporarily to just see how they respond. If they respond well because it humbled them, and now they're learning more, great, because what they are good at, they can bleed into other Marines. And if they have a capacity to learn more from you, well, now they're really listening to you because they have responsibility on them. Mm-hmm. So you kind of gave them what they asked for. Okay, Lance Corporal. Okay, PFC. You think it should be done this way and done that way? Like, hey, you know what, man? And this is, you don't come across condescending to them, because if you come across condescending, you give them the promotion, they think you got it out for them, and you're just, no matter what they do, you're going to fire them in front of everybody to make an example out of them. And that's not what that is. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, listen, you've got ideas, you've got ambition. Some of this shit's not what you think. But hey, let's roll. Put your money where your mouth is. You're going to be this now. But you've got to set them up for success. Now they're in team leader meetings now. Mm-hmm. They're in those briefings. And like, you got to give them the tools to be successful. Mm. And then it's going to be on them to be successful. But when they really identify what you're giving them, yeah, dude, they'll shut the fuck up and they'll listen. And they'll apply it, and they're going to gain more context. But I would much rather have someone like that I kind of have to pull back a little bit and give them some composure than someone that I got to kick in the ass all the time to get going.
Yeah, can't.
So you just got to, but again, dude, this is leadership. Like, you might think that guy is toxic.
Right.
And you might want to rid him of the squad, and he's a fucking troublemaker and whatever. Maybe you're insecure because he's a better shooter than you are.
Yep, that's that ego I was talking about.
Maybe he runs his 3 mile faster than you do. Maybe he does his combat fitness test better than you do. Maybe this kid's got something in him that you don't, but because you've got rank, you're thinking that he's toxic, or you're expressing that he's toxic, when in reality, it's like, yeah, man, he's got some behaviors that aren't best, but like, we're war fighters. Mm-hmm. What did you expect? Right? Like, what did you expect to be in this organization in the first place? And if you're confident with your abilities as a leader, maybe he is a better shot than you. Mm-hmm. You're still a great shot, but maybe he's better. But if you're confident in your ability as a leader, you will know how to deploy him in your squad. You'll know how to use him to the best ability.
Yeah,
right?
And I was going
to
say, like,
give him more.
I imagine a major part of leadership is being able to look at a toolbox and seeing, like, okay, this person's a wrench, this person's a hammer, this person's a screwdriver, versus some people might just be looking at everything like a fucking hammer and nail.
And you just got to be confident, like, in your ability, man.
Yeah.
You know, because how many guys, man, like, got a DUI or, you know, like, got in a couple fights at a bar, and then the command staff wants to just throw the kitchen sink at them on their first offense. Mm. And now this dude that really is good got hammered on his first offense. Mm. And now he's just, like, disheartened at the entire organization and doesn't want to help or do anything for anyone. And it's like, dude, you're taking a guy out of the fight that's actually good. And it's like, hey, I mean, we're Marines.
Yeah.
Like the dude got in a fight at a bar. Like, okay, yeah. All right, hey. Oh, cool. Okay, yep. Whatever.
Well, and if you try and use a hammer to drive a fucking screw, it's just not going to work.
But if he's got great skill set, he just doesn't. He lacks composure, or he's acting out, or he's lacking maturity. Mm-hmm. If you give him responsibility, and others are counting on him, it's a different perspective. Mm-hmm. It's a different level of responsibility, and it changes things. But again, leading back to my point, man. You're not going to have the intuition as a leader with that unless you've been super proficient with those folks and you've got the history of, like, it being passed down between great leadership, right? And I think that's one thing that, like, the Marine Corps does very well, and that's what I've been gifted. And this is why we've been hitting so hard on it in real estate, man, because it's like we do have people that are great at the craft per se, mm-hmm. but they're shitty leaders, mm-hmm. and that's the people business. Okay, like when you get into leadership, that's now your major with an emphasis in real estate. When you were a practitioner, everything was real estate.
Yeah.
Okay, like when you're a basketball player, when you're Michael Jordan playing basketball, your job is basketball.
Yeah.
Right? Now there's some leadership roles as far as being a captain on the team. But once you get into, like, just the leadership side of it, it's like, no, man, you're in the business of people now with an emphasis on basketball. And, like, there's just not enough spoken about it. And, man, I don't know where to tell you to go. I guess you can come to us or right. you can go to the Marine Corps. Yeah, but the bottom line is,
it's put in time.
Well, and there's also just self-awareness of that. I do think, you know, people, like, the one of the most popular questions is, you know, are leaders born or are they built? Mm-hmm. And I think it's both. Mm-hmm. I think you have some people that, you know, are born leaders, but they still have to become subject matter experts in their craft before they can ever lead. Because a lot of the born leaders can also be pompous and control freaks, and I saw them as cops, right? Like, there's a lot of great things that they were doing, but there's also some things that were not so good mm-hmm. for other reasons, right? Mm-hmm. But all under the umbrella of influence, whether you're toxic with that or not, like, that's a different discussion. But I also think there's some folks that are, you can call them introvert, you can say that they are humble or they lack self-confidence or whatever it is, whatever you want to say, but, like, they're really good, you know, at what they do. Mm-hmm. But they'd never even really thought of leadership. And then, but hey, if they're proficient at a craft and they're fundamentally sound, you can start teaching them leadership roles. And are they going to be a great leader? You're going to find out. Some become great, dude. And then some, it's just not for them because they're just way better at just doing it, not leading it. But either way, I've seen guys that just seem like they had the natural ability to lead do great. And I've also seen guys that never thought in a million years they would be in a leadership role do great.
Yeah.
But it boils down to being proficient in your lanes and then either already having the confidence or gaining the confidence as a leader. And that all comes through time, and it comes through putting yourself around the right people that will mold you into a leader. If mm-hmm. you don't have that, I don't know how. I honestly, like, I think leadership, man, is like one of the last things that's passed down Native American style. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about the book you can read or whatever science says about leadership. It's like you literally have to be influenced from the generation of the people mm-hmm. just in front of you that got it from them. Like, imagine, like, the Marine Corps, man. You know, we talk about Captain Sean Tosh. We talk about Adam Sacchetti. He's a one of my commanders as well. And, like, the list goes on and on. Who did they learn from? Like, they've talked about their mentors. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking real mentors. Like, these guys had mentors as in, like, yes, these officers were in their chain of command, but they also had a personal relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And there was mentorship going on. Mm-hmm. But if you look at just Marine Corps history, I speak about guys that were just ahead of me that poured into me. And then those guys speak about who was in front of them, who was in front of them. Mm-hmm. And it goes back. That lineage will go all the way back, dude, to America's existence, to war. I mean, and it's like, wow. And that's how great leaders have been developed. It's not just about the framework or reading a book or listening to a podcast. It's about the constant influence and intuition from the person ahead of you being able to influence you in real time until you do have enough context and experience and your own personal intuition as a leader, and you've developed your own style as a leader to where now I don't see Sacchetti or Tosh every day, but I also don't need to. Mm-hmm. I'm almost to a point where I can disagree with them and mm-hmm. be right in my own right
yep.
on how I think something should be developed or someone yeah. should be corrected.
Be confident
and,
in your decision.
And I could go toe-to-toe with them yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't mean like in any like
yeah.
on a battlefield. I just mean like in general.
Yeah.
In general as far as like where I have found my niche.
Someday my son's going to tell me, mm-hmm. no, Dad, this is how I see it.
Your son's going to say it. My son's going to get halfway through that sentence. And no. I'm going to say, and I was like, yeah, so that's called dictatorship. When you're out of this fucking house, you can say what
yeah,
you want.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
but it does come down to niches, right? Because, yeah. hey, maybe those guys are better leading on a battlefield or leading with fitness or with politics or with, you know, admin, whatever it is, mm-hmm. like, hey, maybe my niche is brand and business or whatever mm-hmm. may be, but you know, I would be hard pressed, man, to take any credit on anything for anything I've helped yeah. you and I establish
yeah.
without giving credit to real leaders where I had real influence with consistent mm-hmm. time and mentorship, right? Until I gained enough experience, which then led to my own intuition and my own style and confidence mm-hmm. as a leader. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of come out of your cocoon with that. But if you're not getting that level of care, then where is it coming from?
Yeah. Well, that brings us back to our first point of just putting in the fucking work and the reps and the time, mm-hmm. the amount of time that it takes to
But it's also why your circle yeah. is so important because yeah. my ideals, my style, my intuition has been influenced.
Mm-hmm.
If it were not influenced, I don't know where it would come from because mm-hmm. I've been wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, bro,
like I've been wrong. Like I've had to mold my style. Dude, you've even watched me in the past several years change my leadership style mm-hmm. when it comes to composure or poise or delivery. I guess mm-hmm. that's not, I've always been composed. Even if I was mad at someone, and they, you know, like they think I'm
it's evolved though. It's evolved.
What they think is like yeah. a 10.
Yep.
I'm probably at a 4.
Yep.
So they just don't have enough context of me of yep. like when I'm really mad. And even if I'm like out of control in your mind, I might be completely in control, intentionally throwing a whiteboard across
things,
the room
right.
because I know the reaction I'm going to get from that. So that looks yep. like it's completely out of control.
Yep.
No. In my mind, this is super intentional. I'm doing something because I know
that's one thing.
The
I've always known that about you. I've always known that about you.
But that's also been great skill sets or a great delivery, mm-hmm. or not great's the wrong word. It's also been a delivery that has been useful in mm-hmm. certain atmospheres.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm in real estate now. Mm-hmm. I'm a soccer mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like some of that delivery will actually just make people leave
yeah,
because
yeah.
it's so abrupt. It's so knee jerking. It can be off putting and scary or discomforting. By the way, I've never thrown a whiteboard.
Yeah, no, I was about to say that.
Right. But you see what I'm saying? But yeah. so you've even seen me create a different delivery that I've had to practice mm-hmm. within real estate. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, okay, but then how was I self-aware enough to one, identify that and then two, practice it? Because of how much influence I've had from real leadership in my life,
mm-hmm.
I've been given fundamentals where, like, it doesn't matter what industry I go into, I'm going to be able to adapt as a leader. But also, you didn't see me flood into a leadership role until I was 34 deals in and we were top 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Then I opened my fucking mouth,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's also like I've also got the self-awareness of I know that if I go into a different industry, I need to be and at this level of proficiency before I even open my mouth as a leader. I got the leadership thing. If I can learn the craft and be great at it, I can lead it
mm-hmm.
because I've done leadership for so long. But it's the self-awareness and it's the ability to make adjustments and then consistently practice it. But like, dude, I got that from my leadership. I've been wrong. I've chosen to go aggressive in a moment that did not solicit the response I thought it would.
Yeah.
It gave me the opposite. And then I've had a leader sit me down and go, hey, I know where you were going with that because I know you,
mm-hmm.
but here's why it didn't work. And here's why doing something like this in the future would be better. but they're around me enough to where they know me. They knew my intention and why I was responding a certain way, which gives them enough to be able to critique it in the first place, right? Like there's so much relationship around becoming a real leader from real lineage, man.
Yep.
Not some carbon copy. I got a certificate.
I read a book.
From this online course that says I'm now a leader in real estate. Fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
Because there's no such thing as a leader in real estate, okay? You lead people and you have an emphasis in this lane over here. And if someone's giving you a certificate and it costs money to go online and the shit was multiple choice or some bullshit, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Not good,
man.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's like, okay, Will, great points, right? Now that he's off his soap, I'm off my soapbox, right? Well, where the fuck do we find that? Like, I get it. I know, but this is why we're going so hard in the paint with agent attraction and throwing events once a month and doing private. We're getting back to private Facebook groups and private Zoom calls where we can pour into people and run Q&As and get involved in their business.
It takes time, man. It takes years.
It's time. But I'll tell you one thing from my experience as a leader and my experience receiving influence from leaders. Your job as a subordinate, whether you're in a leadership role, so you're now a leader or you are seeking to be a leader one day, if you aren't putting in the work, leadership doesn't have enough consistency with you to be able to mold anything. Okay? Like if there's just not. There's just not. Like your one job is you got to be putting in the work with everything that they're talking about. Because if there's cracks there, we won't know if you're getting a positive result for something or not, or if it was on accident. Like, you know, like someone that makes a cold call and they get a listing out of it on in the within their first five calls, they might think that that's just the secret sauce. Nope. And they're not prepared for what's ahead, and then they're not consistent with it. Or if they now have this like false expectation that every five calls you're going to get one, it's a problem. So the bottom line is like if you're seeking leadership, mentorship, whatever you want to call it, you have to be committed to the consistency, and you have to be committed to being open-minded. You have to be committed to receiving it. And this is the one thing that's bothered me in real estate. I guess I can't say with people within real estate, or just not even that, the civilian side. I have been sought after by people for quote unquote mentorship. And then we go over everything that they're doing or whatever it may be. And I give them tasks and then they pick and choose what they want to do. And it's like, look, here's the deal. You can do that. But don't fucking come back here. Don't come back for advice. Don't come back for mentorship. And then you're picking and choosing what you're doing. No, like you've got to be 1,000% committed, especially if you're soliciting for it. If I'm throwing unsolicited advice at you and it's not for you, tell me to get fucked.
If you believe in a leader, not a problem. You should be dying for that information and dying to execute on exactly how they deliver it.
And what you don't understand is like guys that are getting to a successful level, like why do you think a lot of this shit still, even in real estate, bro, how to really become successful, it's not out there. You can go buy a course on the 12 steps of this, the 5 steps of that. Why aren't everybody buying these courses successful? Half of it or a lot of it's because people aren't putting in the work on those steps. The other half is, I don't care how many times you go through that course, you're missing the intuition and the judgment calls within these scenarios that are being discussed in the actual course. Okay?
Yep.
It's like hitting fucking speed bags and heavy bags as a boxer. You're missing the fight. And until you're in the fight and feeling things and having that coach walk you through things in real time during the fight, it's not irrelevant. You're just not going to get the same level of production. And here's my strong opinion on like why things are still secret when it comes to success. Because with the little success that we've had, you and I'm already 10 times more careful. No, that's too strong. 3 times, 4 times more careful with my time now than I was 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
Guys that are winning, it's like, hey, they see everyone else, like what they're seeking or what they want. And like, dude, to actually teach you everything and pour into you is exhausting. And I've got to commit just as much to you and learning you just as much as you got to commit to me as your leader or your mentor, whatever you want to call it. And if it's not the right fit or if there's even a little bit off, I'm not going to go pour in that much time on something when I can stay over here in my own lane and keep pouring into the people that are already established and to just me doing my own craft. That's why.
Yep.
That's why, like, real successful people, you don't see them super public when it comes to actually giving you that type of influence But yes, they'll make a course and they'll sell it to you. Uh-huh. Now, does that mean courses are not good? No, not at all. Mm-hmm. They'll sell you a boot camp or you can go on to their masterminds, you know, once a month. Does that mean those are all hogwash? No, those are filters. Mm-hmm. If you can take their course, if you can sit down in their mastermind, if you can join their downline, and you can take what they're teaching and create enough success out of that.
Yeah, a certain level.
Now they see you're committed. Now they see you actually have a talent for it. Now they see you're going to stick around and be consistent. Now there's a lot more green flags in red. Yep. That you're worth the time of actual mentorship / leadership.
Yep.
And now they're willing to take you to the next level. But if you're not getting that personal whatever time with those people, one, you shouldn't expect it. Two, they're smarter than you.
Yep, you're not ready for it.
You're not ready for it. They're smarter than you.
Yep.
Okay, PFCs and Lance Corporals, you are not where your lead sergeant is.
Yeah.
He understands where you need to get before he even opens his mouth to you. Same thing in real estate. The guys that we get to talk to in real estate, one, we never called them. Mm-hmm. Two, once we did, we got an answer, but it was because of how loud we made a noise before we even asked for anything. And honestly, that was also to make sure that we developed like our own style and our own identity with what we were doing. And now we get influenced by others ahead, but we've shown a value add in that we're worth their time, that being committed mm-hmm. in that realm, they're willing to give that time, you know, and like, man, the one thing, this is now like the fifth thing about real estate, especially like newbies, man, like there's this impression that like people owe you something, right? Cause you can go to any brokerage, mm-hmm. you pay per month to be there and you pay mm-hmm. on your commission per deal or whatever your deal is to hang your license somewhere. So it's like, oh, cool. I'm this brand new person. I'm going to go interview all these places. And all of these places will take you because you pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get around real leaders in real estate that are running large teams or that are running large networks, they don't need anything from mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. You need them. And it's more about your willingness to be prepared with your mindset and your commitment than it is.
And as a brand new agent, it's like, man, like you were saying, there's so much shit you need to learn mm-hmm. before the real value I have to give even applies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the shit say to you, like.
But we're growing here in Denver. Like, do you know how many private messages I've got as far as like people telling, hey, I'm licensed and I'd love to like come by or like interview you or like, hey, I would love to come by and like, hey, here's my number. Like, that's my favorite. People give me their number on Facebook. And I'm always kind. I'm always like, hey, congratulations on getting licensed. And, you know, hey, if you have any questions for me, if you'd like to understand, like, you know, from our perspective, how we choose to go about business, we can definitely sit down mm-hmm. and schedule something. Have a great day. And I don't acknowledge your phone number, your email. Like, you're not going to get me to reach out to you. Right. And like, this is also a thing about leadership. I'm not going to establish this role of me pandering to you or me chasing you or me catering anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
When I understand, one, we're already this successful. We've already got this much commitment to everyone else that we're helping.
Yeah.
You have to show a level of value add
before
I even open that door because, hey, and being a part of us, like, hey, you're part of a team here. Like, you have to contribute just as much as anyone else. And, hey, I don't expect you to contribute in the same way that I'm going to contribute to you. You're new at this, but you can contribute your time.
Mm-hmm.
You can contribute your commitment. You can contribute being open-minded. You can contribute to acting on
getting after
the teachables of what you're being coached with to go actually act out. And if you're not in that mindset, especially in the civilian sector, mm-hmm. it's really hard for me to get you there. But you can come to our events. You can come to things that we're doing because through events and through us doing things on social media, mm-hmm. we can start, even on this podcast, we can start introducing that mindset to you.
Yep.
And if there's a mindset shift there, good for you. Because this is honestly how you start getting around the real successful people. Gary Vee talks about it. He had people that were doing like his videography and his editing mm-hmm. that were working for free, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
They were working for free just for an opportunity.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, I don't expect everybody to do that. Everyone's situations are different. And one of the kiddos convinced his parents like, hey, instead of giving me $100,000 a year for college tuition, I'm only asking for 40.
Yeah.
Just can you pay for my one bedroom studio and pay for my groceries because I'm going to go work for this guy for free.
Let me go learn.
And he did an internship for 4 years and he got a lead role, you know, but it's like when you understand the opportunity you have around people that have created a level of success in the industry you want to be in.
Yeah.
Whether it's the military, whether it's real estate, no matter what it is, they have an extraordinary value add for you. What you have to understand is like, hey, what can I give them?
Right.
Time, commitment, open-mindedness, coachability, those things. And if you're there with it, you will win. Mm-hmm. You'll get around the right people and you will win. And if you're not, that's fine. but I'm hard pressed to think that you're gonna be at an adequate level that's respectable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I digress.
Absolutely. Happy Friday.
Oh, we're gonna go see Joe Rogan tomorrow.
We are.
Hey, Joe Rogan, motherfucker, because I know you listen to this podcast secretly. We're your favorite. Tulsa, Oklahoma, you fucking asshole. Like, you couldn't come to all year. You can't come to Colorado, but you're going to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we're driving.
Got all listeners good. In Tulsa. Listen, in Madison man. Square Garden today.
Well, and you bought me these tickets for my birthday.
I did, yeah.
So you couldn't take me to Madison Square Garden. You'd take me to Tulsa.
We ain't going to New York. We need vaccine cards on, and like, all that fucking shit.
No. Are you sure that's what it is? Or you found the best gift to give me at the cheapest rate possible? Like, all right, New York. I'm going to give this guy Hell Joe no. Rogan. But
hey, these are like front row seats, bro. These ain't fucking cheap.
I'm going to give him Joe Rogan in Tulsa. These are anything
but cheap.
Like, oh, that's how you did
Joe
it?
Joe Rogan, I would take you in my fucking backyard. I would take you in Kentucky. I would take you wherever. You're Joe Rogan.
When we make it one day, I'm going to buy you a Ferrari or a Porsche, but I'm going to buy you like the cheapest one.
I would please. Thank you. I love it. I appreciate right, that, bro.
Scratch that. I got to find something else for us to do.
Please.
I'll buy you like the little Matchbox Porsche.
I would love that.
I know. You any, argue any everything.
Gift from you is
for the sake of being on record. You. Yeah. No, man, it should be a lot of fun. Yeah. We're excited for that. We're going to, you know, do that super quick over the weekend and we'll be back. I'll be talking in Arizona twice next week.
Yep.
Then we're back here and then I will be speaking. I'll be opening up for Ben Newman at Empower Field for a real estate event, which will be super cool. Ben's a great dude. I'm a part of his speaking team, and that's a lot of fun getting that going. But it should be fun, man. We'll be doing that the 14th at Empower Field. And then after that, man, getting ready for the new year and pushing forward and throwing a ton of events here in Denver at the Pullman. And, man, just coaching real estates and developing them. Just getting them in the right mindset for 2022.
And we got some consecutive podcasts in.
Yeah.
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Right on.
All right. We appreciate you guys listening. We will be here next week, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You guys have a great day. Day $1 out.
You're so obvious with that. you emphasize it. Hold on, pause your music.
Oh, I know. We're
so
waiting.
You can't
waiting.
Go like, you can't, $0 out. Like, see, out comes from like when you're on radio transmissions.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just copy out.
So.
But if I were like, copy that and out, like someone's getting shot at and actually needs like a fucking radio, but I'm over here like, and we're out of here. Like, they're like, they're going to murder me when we get back because I won't get off the radio.
I promise. If everyone's getting very shot, neutral. I will make it much quicker.
It's just very like.
More succinct.
It's just very out. See that?
I like it. Let's do it one more time.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Out. Take a day off.